Jesus, oh, I'm sorry, the Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. A few years ago now, it's been that my family and I adopted an Australian Shepherd puppy. She's not a puppy anymore, but she's named Lola. And she actually was a fancy dog. She is a red tri from the line of parents and grandparents who have great show dog titles. You know, they were very fancy with these papers, but she ended up with us, so she was not destined for any show dog fame, although she certainly has instincts and sass to be able to pull that off. So anyone else have a shepherding type dog or know something about them? Yeah, they're bossy, and they are totally wired for herding, for rounding up anything, little things, big things, anything that's moving or causing any type of chaos in their world. And so when we got her, our son was in first grade, so he was about six, and he had a bounce in his step, you know, and she would help us walk to school. She'd go with us. And so John, you know, he would do these really daring things like skip ahead. Any of the rest of the kids here ever do that? Walk to school? Or like run back behind because he dropped the rock or saw something he needed to pick up. Or sometimes he'd be really crazy and he wouldn't walk on the sidewalk. He'd walk next to it. Yeah, well, Lola did not appreciate this kind of being out of order. And she very instinctively and instantly would like bark and nip his heels right back into place on the sidewalk. And he was not permitted to leave the sidewalk. Now, she has other ways she displays this herding instinct besides keeping the boy in line, which is still helpful, actually. But she goes to, like, if you go to a dog park, she does not play with other dogs. That's not what she does. She either gets them herded into a corner or she just keeps them away from her people. And also the rabbits. The rabbits they're everywhere in our neighborhood anyway right now. And rabbits tend to stress her out, and she keeps them out of the yard, which is great for keeping the garden safe. And we always thought she was just kind of chasing them out. But then one day she caught one, this little baby one. And she held it in her mouth and did not hurt it. I mean, it might have had a heart attack, but she didn't hurt it. And she put it down and let it go, and then she chased it again and caught it again. And my husband let this happen a couple times, and then he couldn't he couldn't take it anymore, and he made her let the rabbit go. But here's the thing. Lola was just doing what a shepherd dog does. She's not out to harm or destroy with her quick feet and her big bark, but she is out to herd, to round up the chaos and gently make a way for peace to prevail in her yard. She cannot help this herding instinct. It's part of her very nature. And it's so ingrained in her, even though she's never, I don't think she's ever actually seen a real sheep or a horse or anything you would actually want to round up. And so she uses this, though, in a way, for her, in a way that is funny sometimes, but it creates this assurance that there is this shepherding dog guarding her flock. So when we hear these passages from Psalm 23 about being led, about God being our shepherd, and from John 14, I can't help think of that. Because these passages are also this human attempt to describe the very nature of God. A God who does shepherd, gathers, protects, cares for all those who are in her care, and all are in her care. A God who leads and guides and even holds us gently. These are both scriptures that may be familiar to you, but also seem out of place, because they are often ones that are read when we're saying goodbye to a loved one during a funeral or a memorial service. So we tend to think of them as words for the end of life, words of comfort and grace that help us walk into that path of eternal life with God. And they are words for such a time. And they are also words that actually originally were not spoken or written at a time of death, but at a promise of new life. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. We are living in the Easter season. And here, Jesus is with his disciples preparing to ascend to God. And so he begins with this promise of dwelling, of there being many dwelling places with God, and says to his disciples, do not worry, do not let your hearts be troubled, because you know all that you need to know. You have seen God because you have been with me. Now, a lot of times this passage gets painted as a big mansion, right, in the sky with fancy rooms and this faraway other kingdom that fulfills our material desires and our fantasies for an easy life. But when we get to the roots of the words that we find here, the word dwelling is not really like a room. It's not a stationary, sit and hang out kind of word, but it's a vibrant, moving, come dance in the light and the way and the truth kind of word that encompasses the present, what is going on, and the future at the same time. And so we can start to see a different picture of what Jesus is calling us into and what it means to dwell with God. That it's not just in death or in life after death, but in and with life here and now. Andrei Rublev is a Russian painter from the 15th century, and he created what's become now an icon, depicting of what so much of Scripture tries to tell us. And in this Gospel of John, how he's interweaving that he is, that God is in him and he is in God. Well, this picture also aims to depict this nature of God as Trinity, as three, and as one. And so you have to imagine, and maybe Google it later, but this painting has three figures that sit around a table positioned like this, one, two, three, and they're looking at one another. And he uses three main colors: gold for God the Father or Creator, for divinity, blue for Jesus, blue being from sky and sea and Jesus coming and dwelling on earth, and green for the Holy Spirit, so this life that grows and springs forth. And all three figures have all three colors in them. And Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest who's in New Mexico, contemporary spiritual director, in his latest book, The Divine Dance, he writes about this icon painting as another way for us to understand the very nature of God. And he says, "The Holy One, in the form of three, eating and drinking, in infinite hospitality and utter enjoyment between themselves. So in the beginning was the relationship." The very nature of God is to be in relationship, to be a part of a divine dance of all the ways that God is revealed in the world. God cannot help but be a part of us. And God cannot help but dwell and abide in all of the places of our world, even in those places of chaos. Because we all know that life does have its chaos, right? For Lola, it's children and bunnies running amok. And maybe that's what it is for some of you as well. Or there's the chaos of May with all its transitions and celebrations and graduations and everything that happens with us in May. Or it might be the chaos that we live in as parents, or the chaos that we have just living on our own, or the chaos of navigating the news and the social media and figuring out what's real and what's not, or the chaos of our own illness or personal concerns or tragedies. And whether we are ones who seek to round up that chaos, to bring that peace and order into our yard, or whether we're ones to maybe withdraw a little more and just hide away in our own nest, the very nature of God is to dwell with us and stay in relationship with us no matter what else ensues around us. So Rohr goes on to describe how this painting, it has the three figures, and then it kind of has this odd, like, hole almost in front, like something was taken out. And the story goes that originally the artist had placed a mirror right at that point of the painting where you, the viewer, would be looking at it. And that his intent was always that anyone looking at this painting, seeking God, seeking to dwell in this grace, would find themselves as the fourth person, as one who was part of God and part of that dance of God. And Rohr talks about this grace as one that flows. It's like water. The rain or a big cascading waterfall will continue to flow down until it reaches its lowest place. And there is where it will pool. And so we too are part of this flow of grace. Our very nature, our essence comes from this place of grace. We're created in and from relationship with God, from a place of wholeness and goodness. That is our essence. We're called to live into that nature of reflecting God's grace in our relationships, our families, our friends, those we go to school with, those we sit by and worship, those that are new to us, and those places in our community, and especially in those lowest places where grace is called to pool. And we reflect this nature in what we will do to bring new life to places of chaos and despair, and to be who we will be in joining this divine dance of God that sometimes we will do gracefully and lovely from our core, and sometimes we'll step on somebody's toes or get out of step, but always God continues to dwell with us and send us into that flow of grace. So all through this dance, God remains in relationship with us. God, our shepherd, gathers us up and brings us to those same pools of grace, inviting us too to catch our breath and rest at them for a moment. And remember that we are also gently held in God's mercy, in that Jesus promise of truth and way and life, and in the Holy Spirit moving in our world in love. Amen.